some word came that was, that turned you off, that turned you aside from maybe following him. That's what it means to stumble, to be offended. It's to not believe due to some factor that is part of him, but that you could, now you cannot go. You know, he said something now, I can't believe that. I stumble at this. I'm offended. Verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verse 11, verily I say to you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 15 is one of those characteristic phrases of Christ. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we all have ears. I mean, if we're not deaf, right? But some things, the hearing of them causes us to stumble. Some things we hear them and we cannot understand, whether it be a parable or a doctrine or a prophecy or a riddle, something that comes into the ear and is not taken in to the mind and cannot enter into the heart because you cannot hear it. The first example that comes to my mind is the preaching of righteousness. When you begin to speak about the righteousness of God, and when people just read about it in the scriptures, somehow it does not penetrate into their ear. Because they have a greater wisdom already there. That's in their mind. They won't allow them to hear the word of God because they say, well, that can't be true. I know, because this is how it really is. Just as the Pharisees stumbled at Christ at many of the things he did, they could not hear the word he was speaking to them because they already had a word in their ear, whispering in the back of their mind, saying, no, it cannot be so, for we know. And they think, we know something, and therefore. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. So let's look back and see what the things that are hard for people to hear are. In this context, of course, he was speaking of John the Baptist. That he, if you would receive this, if you would hear this, this is Elijah who was for to come. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah, it is written. He was not the reincarnate soul of Elijah. He wasn't Elijah reincarnated. He was the spirit of Elijah revisited. Prophets can be of the same spirit, though separated by time, because spirit is not the person. A spirit, you know, you can rise up in the spirit of anger. You can have this spirit, that spirit. Spirits are not personal. They are, but they're actionable. They do things. They make people be a certain way. The spirit of the times. Men get caught up in these things. Well, John came in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah from the Old Testament. Though he did not do the works Elijah did. But he came in the spirit. And then the same power of God, the power mostly I think that I'm interested in is the power over one's own self, self-control. That is the first and most important power that one can obtain. The power to control your actions and the power to overcome sin. You know, performing miracles and so on and so forth is great for a witness to others. But as far as the greatest witness to oneself is the power to overcome. And he speaks in myrrh. John came baptizing what? To repentance. To change our minds and hearts. To, you know, prepare ourselves for the coming of Messiah. To prepare ourselves for the kingdom of God and for his righteousness. And Jesus asked, what did you go out there to see? When you went to the wilderness to see John baptizing in the wilderness, say, there's something going on in the wilderness. There's this strange man. He's out there in the wilderness of Judea, baptizing. Baptizing? Yeah, he's dunking people in the water. And they thought, well, this is strange. Let's go see. What's this all about? Did they expect to see a man who was shaken in his doctrine? A man whom the sight of the Pharisees coming down to look at his baptism would be like, oh, sirs, I'm so happy you've come. Oh, you say my doctrine isn't all correct? Well, how might I improve it to please you? And from one group to the other, whoever speaks to him determines how he talks. You know, his doctrine tailor-made to each group. But rather speaking clearly and concisely, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, you serpents and generation of vipers? Whichever way the wind blows. I mean, that's a picture of the Spirit. The Spirit comes this way and that way. You know, if the spirit of the people be for one thing, the politicians go that way. And if the spirit of the people be for another thing, well, that's the way they go. When the wind blows this way, they sway with the wind. And when the wind blows that way, they sway with it the other way. And it's a parable of the will of people. The will of men. What seems like the easy way to go. You know, it's easy to blow with the wind, but to stand against it and with your face into it, to push in the opposite direction when you know the opposite direction is right, or to just stand firm right where you are in opposition to whichever way the wind is blowing in that narrow and straight path that Christ laid out and his apostles laid out. John was not this. John the Baptist was true to his calling. He did not shake to the right or to the left, but stuck with what God had given him. Or say, you want to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Did you want to see a man in a three-piece suit? You know, in a shiny silk Italian suit? Tailor-made? I tell you, all the ministers of our day sure wear fine clothing, don't they?